Cape Talk. Family Matters.
Well, we have to move on to far more serious matters now, and a topic that's not an easy one because nobody goes into a marriage planning for a divorce. But the facts tell us the rate of divorce is in fact increasing in this country. It takes a while for marriage and divorce stats to sort of filter through the system. So Stats SA takes about 2 years to compile and analyze everything, which means the latest data that we have available is for the year 2015. And during the course of 2015, over 25,000 couples formally ended their marriages. And that was an increase of more than 5,000 from the numbers of only 4 years before that, 2011. During the same year, 2015, 138,000 new marriages were registered. And there we're talking about civil and customary marriages. So look, we're not yet at the kind of levels being seen in the USA, for example, where the stats are that for every 100 new marriages, there are 38 divorces. But there has been both a notable increase in the number of divorces in South Africa and a substantial decrease in the number of new marriages being registered, interestingly. The bottom line is it is happening more frequently, and in over 50% of the cases, minor children are involved, which makes it incredibly important that what can be a very fraught process full of emotion and hurt feelings and often full of financial disputes as well has to be trod through very delicately. My guest in the studio today is someone who tries to help couples move through that very difficult process with the least fallout and damage to all parties involved, and of course, particularly to the children. Attorney Mandy Schultz of the Divorce Center, welcome back to the studio. It's great to have you with us again.
Thank you. Thank you, Papa.
We were just chatting during the news, and I asked the question, do you see a seasonal trend in terms of the people coming to you for help? Is there an uptick in the number of people filing for divorce at this time of year?
Yes, definitely. I think from about October of each year, it's like there's an increase in work, and we are really getting very busy from about October till, in my practice, I would say about March, and then there's a little bit of a decline till about slight increase again about June, July. But I would say the peak season for us is from about October.
Do you think it's a case of people, I mean, everyone's under huge stress at work. They're under financial pressure as the year end approaches. Maybe it's people saying, I can't face the prospect of spending another Christmas with you. What do you think it is that contributes to that trend?
Well, I do think the pressures of the end of the year, the stresses are very high. People's resilience are less. And so I think the niceness with each other decreases definitely. And then, spending, in the rest of the year, you're busy, you're working, there's kids. There's a lot of stuff that keeps you busy. But during the December holidays, when people go away and most of Cape Town closes, people are really faced with having to be in each other's company. And I think people are drifting apart so much that then suddenly they don't know what to tell each other and what to say to each other anymore. So I always compare a relationship with the train and the railway lines. You know, the railway is the independence and the train is what keeping people together. But if the rails, one goes to the one side, then there's a derailing. You know, if there's too much independence in a relationship, I think it will derail. Or if there's too much codependence, then it will derail. And I don't believe people are working relationships enough. I find it very interesting, beginning of each year, so many businesses have teamworks and, visionaries and, all that type of things that keep the business going. But we don't do that for our relationships. And then we're surprised that halfway through our life, we see, we drifted apart. We don't have anything in common anymore. And so I think if we treat relationships more like what we treat businesses, there would be more or less divorces and more satisfying and fulfilling relationships between people.
It's a fascinating subject. I mean, you can look at the increase in the divorce rate and the reasons for it and find so many factors. You know, you hear people of one generation saying, well, in my day, we didn't give up on things. They weren't disposable. We would work. Yeah. At the same time, you go, in your day, perhaps women didn't have the options they have today. They didn't have the financial independence to leave a relationship that wasn't working for them, if that was their choice. Obviously, a multifaceted conversation and one we can't even sort of scrape the surface of today. I'm more interested in talking to you about for those couples who've reached the decision and said, this is it. We have chosen to divorce. We want to end this marriage, and where to from there. Now, you've described it in some of your writing that I've seen as similar to dealing with a bereavement, that the end of a marriage can in many ways equate with what people go through at the loss of a loved one. Won't you just elaborate a bit?
Yes. You know, I always say that a divorce is the dark night of the soul. It's sometimes easier to deal with bereavement, as you call it, because you know, the religious, especially the religious aspects, there's still a lot of support. People come to you. They, you know, communities pull together around that person and support them. But with divorce, it's like a failure, and people separate. They move away from the divorcing couple. And then, you know, there's also the choosing of the one above the other. There's a separation of the in-laws and all that stuff. Mm. So it's really the dark night of the soul. So the body reacts in certain ways when you have that shock that's happening. Mm. So I call it the triple Fs. And what many people do, and I think this is the big reason why divorce is very, very expensive, is people go and see attorneys when they are in fight, flight, or freeze. Now, your logical brain doesn't work properly. Biologically, it's not working. So you're either in a fighting mood as a protection and a defense. Now you go and see an attorney, and you've got that filter on. And because you're in a defense, you see your husband or wife or your partner that you're separating from as the worst entity in this world. So you go with that filter, and you go and tell your attorney what a bad person this is. And they are going to take me for everything I have, and you have to protect me. So with that instructions, the attorney acts. So, and attorneys are getting a lot of flack for expensive divorces. Mm. But I do believe that the client also needs to take responsibility for where they are before they go and see an attorney. Hmm. Attorney's job is to act on the instructions. And once you're in that, you get caught up in a very long, hardcore process. You know, it's like putting the two biggest bulldogs in a cage, and it's a fight to the death. Hmm. So I've been seeing this now for such a long time. I've been in the practice for 25 years, and for about 15 of it, I've been trying to do things differently and qualified as a coach and worked with my clients on a different level. And so we first deal with the emotional aspects. And then 5 years ago, I was lucky enough to meet Georgina Finden, who's then became my partner. Mm-hmm. We partnered and registered the divorce center last year. And so basically what we say is a divorce is 80% emotions and 20% law. So we are trying to get people, when they are at the point of where you say now, we are deciding to get divorced. And then first work those emotional things, get your clarity, decide why you want to get divorced, start looking at what is a common goal that you and your ex-to-be can work towards. Mm-hmm. Rather than, you know, the fear and the anger-based emotions that we used to.
Just to confirm, your partner Georgina comes from a psychological background. Is
correct,
that correct?
Correct.
So you're almost putting her in before they get to dealing with you as the attorney to try and dampen down that high emotion, find some common strategies to work towards. And now obviously that is a long-term of benefit to the two parties involved, but of course to the children, particularly so if there are children involved.
And that's why, because our goal is the children. The impact of divorce is huge on society, and especially on children. And what I'm also seeing is the children of divorce are getting younger and younger. Or that's what I've been seeing in the last two, three years in my practice. 2-3-year-old children, you know. So there's a huge society impact of divorce. And so we first work with the emotions. We talk about how do you break the news of the divorce to the children if they're old enough. Then we start looking at co-parenting. We're setting new boundaries. We help them set new goals for their relationship post the divorce. And those people who doesn't do it, we can absolutely see that there's going to be a termination, and then they will land in the attorney's hands. And so we've got a multifaceted team of professionals. So it's not just Georgina and I. We've got coaches, we've got financial experts, we've got clinical psychologists, child psychologists, you know, all sorts of people that can help in the aspect of divorce. And then we prepare the people. And only when the emotional team, or the we call them family consultants, when they say to us as the legal part and the mediator, say, all right, now this couple is ready, then we start with the mediation. But, you know, many people are getting frustrated. And say, I don't want to. I don't need the emotional stuff. We're ready. Yeah, right.
Famous last words, yeah.
You know, the person on this side is the last one to see that, how angry you actually are. So what we also do during the process, while Georgina and her team works with the people, is we start collecting the financial information. Start looking at what is the probable maintenance outcomes, what's you know, the accrual system, how would that be divided? So we get all that information together, that by the time that Georgina and the team is ready for us, we've got that information, and then we can start with the mediation.
Okay. Now, you've mentioned one of the big issues here for those who go the long, combative route with attorneys is obviously the mounting costs. I mean, we've heard of divorce cases running to years and millions of rand. You've got a different funding model. You actually charge a flat fee. Is that correct?
Yes. We've got a few plans. So it will start, for example, a couple that's not married for that long, so it's not huge financial aspects, then it's a cheaper plan than those that's been married for a long time, or it's a high value estate where
there are lots of shared assets that need to be untangled and that sort of thing.
Also, it's that's where the big fights come from. So it takes more time to work with them. And so yeah, we've got four plans that that we work with, and the most expensive plan that we have at the moment is probably about 10% of what a full-fledged divorce will cost. And the other thing that, you know, that's starting to come through our practice and people hearing about us is people that's been for 2 years in the legal battle, that's already spent 2-3 million. Now they say, we had enough. We had enough. This is not ending. What can we do? So then they have to terminate their attorneys, and the documents take with the attorneys, and we start all over again. But then again, that's a lot of emotional build-up that needs to be dealt with first. That resentment that's built up during that process needs to be dealt with. And then, so yeah, we unpack that, we get to solutions, and then again, we go into the mediation.
Okay. I mean, part of the job has got to be about sort of identifying what the real big issues are. Sometimes they're going to be obvious, sometimes they might not be obvious, that are at the core of the conflict, and then working through them. What for you, I mean, for those listening today, what are some of the big red flags you see? I mean, Tandy's just SMS saying, oh, what's the point? You might as well stay married if the process itself is so conflict-ridden. What are the sort of common things you see where couples really get stuck, that you, for somebody listening today who is going through this or contemplating going there, that you want to say to them, make sure you stay focused on getting this right and getting this sorted out? If I could ask you to pick out sort of three or four.
For me, I believe, and what I've seen, is the people that has a clear common goal, that goal and that intention pulls them through. And I've also seen with couples, they have intentions and they have goals, but somewhere here around the third mediation session, the fear and the anger kicks in. Then we need to stop again, and Georgina and the team needs to intervene. So I would say fear, resentment, and anger are the biggest hotspots that I notice. And it's the fear of the loss of the children and the fear of financial stress.
Yeah.
men are, you know, they get stressful about not having the kids or having enough time with the kids, and women are very scared of being financially destituted. Mm. And yes, the statistics also show that after divorce, men's income and asset value grow, while women's decrease. So you always think that maintenance is enough, but I've never seen a case where a mother is not in a worse position financially.
And that's even when maintenance is being paid, because, of course, there's an entirely separate conversation to be had about those who don't, which I know happened last week while I was away, so I'm not going to go back there right now. Just a comment here, and I want to say we welcome any calls on 021-446-0567. If you've tuned in late, my guest in studio is Mandy Schultz of the Divorce Center, talking about a very difficult subject, about negotiating your way through divorce and whether there are, I won't say easier ways, but more constructive ways of doing that than endless hours fighting it out in the attorney's office. A comment from Tebo, who heard your comment at the start of the conversation about perhaps if we treated marriages more like businesses, we wouldn't see so many divorces. Tebo says sometimes treating a marriage like a business relationship is part of the problem that actually leads to a divorce. If one person treats it like a business relationship and stops feeling and only thinks, if they're using their head only as opposed to using their heart to make decisions, I'm not sure that treating a marriage as a business relationship necessarily would always help save the marriage.
I think it's the aspects of business that we need to bring in. You know, it is some of the, as I said, goal settings. Where does the kids fit in? Where's the time of, I want to call it the executives, the two parents? How much time are they spending together? Do they have a common vision for the marriage? And how is that vision changing along the way? So, yes, there is more emotions, there is intimacy that doesn't come in business, and we don't always work with the intimacy. But if both parties grow together, there's a much better chance for them to succeed in the marriage than not. You know, it's and it also doesn't help if one of the parties grow emotionally, spiritually, and the other one doesn't. And I see it that men are less inclined to grow and do their personal work than what women does. And that's why you can go and look at the statistics. It's mostly women that file for divorce.
Yeah.
They're getting sick and tired of pulling the guys with. And I really wish that men will get to the point to say, all right, I've got something to contribute and I want to bring my best self to this marriage.
Sure, tough. It's a tough one. I think we haven't spoken enough about the children and the need for mediating. Absolutely. And particularly identifying a constructive way of co-parenting going forward. Yes. I've seen some couples make a huge success of it. If I look at our friends of the last few years, where it's worked, where it's, as somebody said, rather kids from a broken home than in a broken home was the sentence that she used. And they've found a way to make it work. The kids feel secure. They communicate well. That's easier said than done for many, particularly given that fear and the anger you've spoken about that is still lingering for many couples, even way after the divorce. Yes. It's difficult to say you've got to keep focused on the kids, you've got to find a strategy that works for them when there is so much hurt and pain and emotion still lingering. What's your advice for couples who are going through this process?
Okay. We're also looking at education. You know, I really believe it's also about educating parents, and parents need to step up. You know, it's a different type of relationship. It is redefining their relationship as husband and wife to co-parents. And if both parents have a commitment to the children, then they would put themselves, I don't say aside, because it's not putting yourself aside. It's putting your emotions aside. And I think if people grow emotionally, then if you firstly can deal with the resentment, the cost of resentment is huge. It's drinking the poison and hoping the other person will die. But that drips, you know, it's like the poison of a very dangerous snake. You don't see it immediately, but it's got the ripple effect, and it ripples out to the children, it ripples out to friends, it ripples out all over in your life. So that's one of the first things that I say, deal with your resentment. And then come to a fair deal with the kids. But it's not about you. It's not about counting time. It is, How do you use the time that you have with the children? It's that quality time that's actually much more valuable to the children than what it is to have one week, or exactly the same hours. That's not what equal parenting is about. Mm. It's about the stability of the children. It's about having their routines and listening to what they need, and be attuned to the children and their needs. So I cannot say enough that it's not about the parents, it's about the kids.
I've been listening to you with such a focus that I've completely missed the fact that we've run into news time. I wish we could keep you here for another half hour. Mandy, several people have SMS'd and emailed asking for contact details for the Divorce Centre. Sure. How do they find you?
Okay. Our telephone number is 066-206-5384, and our email... you can do it, send me an email. It's Mandy, MANNDI, at the divorcecentre.co.za, or Georgina directly, which is Georgina at the divorcecentre.co.za. Or if you want further information, it's info@thedivorcecentre.co.za.
Mandy Schultz, thank you so much for being with us today.
And there's a few trainings coming up, so please email us. There's trainings on the visioning. There's trainings about the connection, relationships, dealing with resentment we're talking about. So we've got a whole lot of things happening in the next few months at the Divorce Centre.
I hope it's going to be helpful information for our listeners. Mandy, great
to
have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Pippa.